This is in memory of my dad, and just the wisdom that he would impart on me, called Don't Forget. I'll let the words speak for themselves. I'll be singing it in English and in Portuguese.
My daddy used
Janelle Gill on the keys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Untangled Resolutions broadcast of The Problem is the Answer, our weekly internet show, radio show about relationships. I'm Batabi Lamtombini, the relationship mediator and your conflict coach, coming to you live from Harlem, USA. I am beyond thrilled to be bringing you music from our featured artist today. You have been listening to the amazingly talented vocalist Loida George, and I'm so excited to play her music for you because she is my cousin. Yes, she and her family literally lived across the street from us while we were growing up, and we attended the same church, and we're in a close harmony a cappella singing group called All But One in high school, along with my brother and sister and our talented high tenor Buchim Chinwa and our awesome bass Trey Jackson. And what a bass he has, and I would love for us to get together. We have to get back together and do a reunion, I'm telling you. Anyway, we had a lot of fun singing together. And then we grew up and went off to college. And, you know, she went off to college, and somehow we both ended up in law school. So, yes, she is a talented musician and a lawyer. And then one day she emails me to say that she's opening for Abina Kumson at the Zipper Theater here in New York City. And the Blackjacks would be there, and would I like to come? Now, Abina Kumson played Patti LaBelle's character, Fela Kuti's mother, in the off-Broadway production of the musical Fela. And the Blackjacks are this phenomenal South African sensation of a band. And I thought, she's singing with professionals? So I went to the show. I went and I sat down. And after a while, this gorgeous, elegant woman comes on stage, and I'm thinking, I think I know her. And she opens her mouth to sing, and I was blown away. So I've been Loida's number one fan for a long time, and I can't tell you how special it is and how proud I am to bring you her music today. The album we're hearing is her first. It is called Loida Live at Bohemian Caverns. Bohemian Caverns. Is in Washington, D.C., where Loida performs from time to time when she can catch a break from her growing immigration law practice. So if you're looking for an immigration lawyer and you're in the D.C. area, or actually from anywhere, because, you know, immigration law is federal law, so you can contact Loida at www.lrgeorgelaw.com. Okay, got to represent and help a sister out. That's right. The song you heard is called Don't Forget. And it is a really special song. It is an original song that she wrote to remember her father, whom I called Uncle Fernando, who passed away several years ago. She really, truly was Daddy's girl, and I know she misses him dearly. Don't forget. Talent, intelligence, heart, and grace, that's Loida George. For more information about her, her music, and her upcoming performances this summer, which she'll be posting soon, visit her music website, which is www.loidamusica.com. That's www.loida, and Loida is spelled L-O-I-D-E, musica, M-U-S-I-C-A, and that's one word, .com. And I'll be posting this information for you in the chat room. So I urge you to log in so that you can participate in the chat room here on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/Batabile, and that's spelled B-A-T-H-A-B-I-L-E. And you can log in and set up a profile if you haven't done that before and join the chat room. And so there you'll be able to see the links that I will be referring to throughout the show. We've got a lot of interesting and exciting stuff on our plate today. I'm going to give you the question of the day, and then I have a few announcements. Okay, so we're going to start out with the question of the day so you have time to think about it and get ready to call in and give me your thoughts on the question of the day. So here's some background, okay? The question of the day is, it was a one-night stand, must he tell his wife? It was a one-night stand, must he tell his wife? And here's the background. I got an email from a listener last week who first asked me what to say to a person who had given him an STI. or an STD. So STI is a sexually transmitted infection. And it's sort of the newer terminology. It used to be that everybody knew about STDs, but now we're talking about STIs, right? So after talking that through with him, he followed up with a bombshell question. So I talked with him about how he might approach the person who had given him an STI, about how it's important for him to think about his purpose in having that question answered and having that conversation, and to explore ways of being able to have the conversation without putting the other person on the defensive. Because if he really wanted to get down to the bottom of his question, it was important that the other person feel safe talking with him about what was going on. So after talking that through with him, he followed up and the question just floored me. He said, "What do I tell my wife?" Well, we talked that through, and here's a summary of what I would say. So we talked that through last week, and then I, you know, had a chance to think about it a little bit. And so here's what I would say again. And if you happen to unfortunately find yourself in that situation, I really would hope that none of you does find yourself in this situation. But here's what I said to him. I said, this would probably be the most difficult conversation that he ever had. He could expect his wife to be furious, and he could expect her reaction to evolve over time. So at first she might be really upset, stunned. She would probably not know how to react. She would probably be blaming him. She might blame herself. Of course, she'd blame the other woman. And she would need time to really process her feelings and her thoughts on the matter, and to make decisions about what to do going forward. So what I said was that he could expect her reaction to evolve over time, and that it was important that he understand this and that he govern his expectations accordingly. It was also important that he not try to make excuses, that he avoid going on the defensive himself, that it was important that he take ownership of what happened, acknowledge responsibility. I also suggested that it might be helpful for him to have a third party, a trained neutral third, a trained, very important, trained neutral third party involved, or someone that they both trusted as an advisor to help ease the situation. So if his wife was willing to have somebody else involved in helping them to have the conversation, that would be really helpful. But whatever he did, I urged him to tell her, because her health was at stake. Now, one thing that is important to consider in situations like this is that infections that are annoying to a man can be deadly for a woman. In fact, infections that have no symptoms in a man can actually be deadly for a woman. So I told him it was really important that he tell her so that she could go to the doctor and get proper medical care. Well, he followed up. And it turns out that his wife did need to go to the doctor for a different reason and ended up getting tested. It's important to do, on an annual basis, semi-annual basis. Ladies, make sure you go to the doctor and get everything checked out. And she got checked out, and it turns out that she indeed was not infected. And so he wrote back with a huge sigh of relief about that. And I said, but wait a minute. That's not all. There's still the issue of this one-night stand. How are you going to handle that? So what should he do? Should he keep it a secret? Never tell his wife? Or does he need to tell her? Tell her what happened. I want to know what you think. So I want you to get ready, think about it, and be prepared to call in. I'll be taking calls in just a little bit. The call-in number is 818-532-9789, okay? Or if you have Skype, and if you don't have Skype, sign up for Skype. It's free. There's no reason why anybody with a computer and access to the internet shouldn't have a Skype account. So sign up for Skype, and then when you look on the page there on the internet, you'll see a blue button with an S on it, and it says click to talk. Now, don't be afraid to click on that button. It doesn't mean that you're automatically put on the air. What it does is it allows you to hear the program over Skype and then to request to be put on the air when you're ready. So go ahead and click that button, click to talk if you have a Skype account. If you don't, go and set one up so that you can call in toll free. But even then, don't you have night and weekend minutes, right? It's the weekend. So go ahead, use your weekend minutes. Give me a call, 818-532-9789. Okay? Now, we're going to take a moment for some announcements while you have a chance to think things through and give me a call. I want to remind you that we kick off Women's History Month this week, which means that we also kick off the 9th annual Lady Got Chops Women's Month Music Festival. So get out a pen and paper so you can jot down this information. Okay, this is important. I'm going to give you information about the festival. You got your pen and paper? Do you remember what pen and paper are? You know, it's funny because I'm finding myself using pen and paper less and less, and my handwriting has gotten really bad. So if you want to use your computer and put it straight into your electronic calendar, go ahead and do that so that you can set reminders and you don't miss a single event in the Lady Got Chops Women's Month Music Festival. And I'm going to give you information about the shows that are happening between this week, when we start off on the 1st of March, and next Sunday, which will be the 6th of March, next Sunday. So here we go. There are a lot of things happening this week, so listen carefully. This might take a minute, but it's important that you have this. Okay, so on tap for this week, festival founder and organizer Kim Clark kicks off the festival at Shrine, our own Shrine right here in Harlem, USA, 8 to 10 p.m. on Tuesday, March 1st, and Shrine is at 2271 Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard. Let me try that again. 2271 Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard here in Harlem. And Shrine, of course, is named after the shrine where Fela Kuti rose to fame in Nigeria. I believe it was in Lagos, but somebody can call in or pop into the chat room and correct me about that. Shrine. 2271 Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard here in Harlem. Then, on Wednesday, March 2nd, Jan Leader and Janice Friedman grace the Bowery Wine Company at 13 East 1st Street from 7:30 to 10 p.m. That's the Bowery Wine Company at 13 East 1st Street from 7:30 to 10 o'clock p.m. Also on March 2nd, around the corner from the Bowery Wine Company, the Lisa Parrott Fast Rat Trio will be at Cafe 5C from 8 to 10 p.m. And we'll be giving you the information about how to get there in a bit. And also, I'll be giving you a link where you can get more information about this. But I do want to make sure to put this out over the air so that you have a choice, a chance to make choices about where you want to go. On March 3rd, you can hear the Bertha Hope Duo at Cafe 5C from 8 to 10. And then hop over to hear Kali Fasto and Friends at the University of the Streets, which is at 130 East 7th Street, starting at 9:30 p.m. So 130 is not the time, it's the address. 130 East 7th Street, starting at 9:30 p.m. That's the University of the Streets, and Kali Fasto and Friends will be there. March 4th, really full night. There are four gigs going on. Cheryl Bailey's Hendrix Y Project will be there. It might be Hendrix Y. I need to check on that, how to say what it is that they've put up there for the show. But it's based on Hendrix, so it ought to be really, really good. They will be at the Northport Tasting Room and Wine Cellar, located at 70 Main Street in Northport, Long Island, from 8 to 10 p.m. So we haven't forgotten y'all who are not exactly in the city. There are venues outside of Manhattan and the five boroughs. This one is in Long Island, 70 Main Street in Northport, the Northport Tasting Room and Wine Cellar, from 8 to 10 p.m. Cheryl Bailey will be joined by Sylvia Cuenca on drums. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And Kim Clark on bass. Also on March 4, Rhonda Dennett and the Blues Cats will be at the Bean Runner Cafe in the up in the mountains a bit, I believe, from 7:30 to 10:30, and that's at 201 South Division Street in Peekskill. And Carol Sulzalter will be at Cafe 5C, which is at 68 Avenue C from 7:30 to 9:30. And that's an important address because a lot of stuff will be going down at Cafe 5C. So 68 Avenue C is the address to remember from 7:30 to 9:30. Finally, March 5th. Actually, it's not finally because March 6th is finally. So I'm going to run through this. March 5th is also a full night at the Fashion Rock High Class Rental Hall with Dina Barrow on piano, Lakeisha Benjamin on sax, Luciana Padmore on drums, and Kim Clark on bass. We will host a reception that starts at 6:30 p.m., and then the performance comes after that. Call 718-594-7607 for tickets. And at the Bean Runner Cafe in Peekskill from 7:30 to 10:30, you can hear Jane Getter on guitar, Amanda Ruza on bass, Laura Dreyer on sax, and Sylvia Cuenca on drums. All right, we're going to give you the rest of the dates a little bit later in the show. And again, if you want more information about the festival, you want a full listing of the events, visit the festival's website. It's thejazz, all one word, thejazz.8m.com/9.html. And it's really important to put that there. If you don't put that, you won't get to the right place. So thejazz.8m.com/9.html. And later I'm going to put these links up in the chat room, so be sure to visit the chat room. If you want to support the festival with a donation, visit the chat room Just visit the fat chat room, and I'll be posting a link there to the website where you can also support the festival with a donation. And as I said here last week, we support independent artists. Here, the problem is the answer, and we hope that you will too. If you're just tuning in, I am Batavi Limtombini, the mediator and your conflict coach, broadcasting live from Harlem, USA. You are listening to Untangled Resolution's weekly broadcast of The Problem is the Answer. You can meet us here every week at 5 o'clock. Untangled Resolutions is a private practice in relationship mediation and conflict coaching. Relationship mediation is like feng shui for your relationships. For more information, visit me on the web at www.123untangled.com. That's www.123untangled.com. Now, I want to welcome some listeners to the show today. I'm really excited that they're listening to the show. I know Craig G is there, right? So we're going to welcome Sha Boogie, Nick Fatal, Be Easy, Craig G the Hater, and Ms. 100. If you're listening, welcome to the show. These folks are a wonderful bunch who host a show on Blog Talk Radio called Why You Mad Son. So this is the Why You Mad Son crew. Why You Mad Son is a weekly radio show that you can hear right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. It's serious. We do discuss some serious issues, but it's also raucous at the same time. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely for the grown-ups. So this show, I will say, and I said before the show, is a family show. I ask folks to be considerate when they are on the air. Watch your language. We do address challenging topics, but we also invite younger people to listen. And so for that reason, I ask people to govern their language on the show. Why You Mad Son? No such restriction. You can just be who you are. And so that is on Tuesday night at 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. Tune in for some fine urban edutainment. Why You Mad Son? I also want to welcome my friend and colleague, D.A. Graham, who's listening to the show. D.A. is the ombudsman for Princeton University, my alma mater, and I hope to welcome him as a guest on the show in a few weeks. Welcome, D.A. Glad you're out there. All right. We're going to talk a bit about the topic of the day. We still have the question of the day out there, so I hope you're listening and thinking about what you might want to say about the question of the day. It was a one-night stand. Does he have to tell his wife? That's the question of the day. But the topic of the day is, what is your PIN? And this topic comes to you courtesy of a conflict coaching client of mine who called me up after the What Do I Say show and insisted that I share this with you. She found this process to be so helpful when she worked with me. She found this process so helpful that she uses it every time she has a dilemma. Now, I really wasn't happy about her asking me to do this, because telling you this is like giving away a trade secret. And it is a trade secret, okay? So we have the show. I have been working on letting you understand, or helping you to understand, active listening and the various techniques that are involved in active listening that you can apply yourself, or that you can understand, so that you can understand how a mediator might apply them. But now we get to the nitty-gritty of things. And people pay me for this stuff. And I'm giving it to you. I mean, it's like, you know, I was giving away samples of milk, and that was okay. Now I'm giving you the farm. Not just the cow, I'm giving you the farm, okay? So, my client insisted, and I thought, you know, it's a good idea to go ahead and give you some of this information so that you can use it on your own. And if you find that you're still getting stuck, you can still use a conflict coach or a mediator. And I'll talk with you about ways to find a conflict coach, find a mediator. You certainly can always contact me at www.123entangled.com, and I can talk with you about how to find a mediator in your area. Or you can contact me by email at info@123entangled.com. Okay? So, she insisted, and I said, fine, I'll do the show about your PIN, your positions, interests, and needs. And I've talked about positions, interests, and needs before. In the very first show, Listen to Be Heard, I said that when you're having an argument with someone, it's important to listen for positions, interests, and needs. And I talked about what those are. Positions are the demands that people make. Your position is what you want or what you want to happen. Your interest is why you need that thing or why you want something to be done. And your needs are the steps required to get what needs to be done so that your interests are met. Okay, so you got that, positions, interests, and needs. Now, different mediators might describe it differently, and the difference between interests and needs might be slipperier in reality. Okay, because that's something that we do as mediators. We sit around and we talk about, really, what is the difference between an interest and a need? How do we describe the difference between an interest and a need? When you have a live problem in front of you, it's easier to understand what the difference is between an interest and a need. It's harder, at least from my perspective, to just define it. So there is an opportunity for us to explore what's the difference between an interest and a need. But what's important is that you know that you've got your position, you've got your interest, you've got your need. Now, I could just tell you this stuff, but I think it would be much more interesting if we could demonstrate it. So I'm going to ask that you also think about calling in. Think of a dilemma that you're having, or a dilemma that you know someone else is having. It doesn't have to be you. I mean, you're anonymous on the radio anyway. Anonymity is really important to me. In fact, confidentiality is a cornerstone of mediation. It's really, really important. And so you can rely on that. If you decide to call in, it will be confidential in terms of who you are. I don't ask people to give me their names. I don't even ask where they're from. But go ahead and call in anonymously an issue that you have, or an issue that somebody else has that you know and you think that they might have a need of help sorting it through. And we will talk about what is your position, interest, and need. And while we do that on the radio with someone on the phone, you can follow along with your own issues. So again, get out a piece of paper and a pen, or hit your computer and open a new document on your computer. And I want you to write down three things. At the top of the page, write down this heading, position. Then skip down a few lines and write down interest. Then skip down again and write down need. Okay, so you've got your position, you've got your interest, and your need. Okay, and I need a volunteer who will go through this exercise with me. And think of this as a golden opportunity to get guidance from a master conflict coach for free. Okay, people pay me to do this. So, you know, and also don't think, oh, I bet the phone lines are flooded, so I'm not going to call. What happens if everybody thinks that? That's right, nobody calls. So go ahead and call in, and the only risk for you is that you have to wait a while, right? So you'll be on the line or Skype in, which is free, but I will be sure to get to you as soon as I can. Now, again, the instruction for Skyping in, because people have been asking about this, if they want to use Skype, there's a blue button on the website, and it has an S on it, and it says click to talk. So that is the button that you would click if you want to use Skype. And that allows you to listen to the show over Skype, and then you can also ask to be put on the show. Okay. So we're going to set up these calls so that we can talk with folks about what are their positions, their interests, and their needs. And then also we will talk about the question of the day. So you can decide what you want to do when you call in. Mediators are all about options. We love generating options. So you have an option. If you want to call in and talk about the question of the day, that's wonderful, and we will do that. Or if you want to talk about the topic of the day, about your position, your interest, and your need, and you'd like me to go through this process with you on the air, you're welcome to do that as well. Meanwhile, we're going to hear more music from Loida. And the song is called Fallen. It's from her first CD, Loida, Live at Bohemian Caverns. This is Loida George.
How many fast lovers in the house? There we go, there we go. Fast lover in the back, okay. The song is for you.
Oh,
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Loida live at Bohemian Caverns. That's Loida George, the wonderful, beautiful, talented lawyer and singer. This woman is a multitasker in the definition of the term multitasker, and she's my good friend. And we consider her family because her family and ours, we grew up in the same town and went to high school together. And so I'm really excited to be bringing you her music today, Loida George. If you're just tuning in, I am Batabi Lemtombini JD, the mediator and your conflict coach, broadcasting live from Harlem, USA. You are listening to Untangled Resolutions weekly broadcast of The Problem is the Answer. Untangled Resolutions is a private practice in relationship mediation and conflict coaching. Relationship mediation is like feng shui for your relationships. For more information, visit me on the web at www.123untangled.com. I also want to say something about other ways that you can stay in touch with me. You can get my tweets at 123untangled. That's that at sign and 123untangled if you've not familiar with tweeting and Twitter quite yet. That is our address on Twitter, at 123untangled. And you can also find me on Facebook, www.facebook.com/123untangled. Be sure to click like when you visit the page so that I know who you are. And sign up for my monthly e-zine at the website, www.123untangled.com. We've got lots of great information in the e-zine. This month of March is our finance issue, and we'll be having articles from a divorce financial analyst and also an organizer, a professional organizer, who tells you how to get organized to go see your accountant. Tax time is coming in April, and so we have designated March as our finance issue, and we've got lots of great information for you in the e-zine, or e-zine, I've heard people call it. I'm not sure which is the correct pronunciation. Nevertheless, go to www.123untangled.com. It's easy to sign up, and you get it every month without even having to think about it. Okay? And then, of course, follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you're there on the website, look a little bit above my picture, and you're going to see a little button that says follow. Go ahead, click on the button. It won't hurt you. And it's not going to mean that you're going to get a ton of email or spam from me or anything like that. It just allows me to know that you are following the show, and it allows us to justify the show getting bigger. And the bigger that the show gets in, the more fun we have as more people tune in. So go ahead and hit follow so that we know that you are a fan of the show and we can expect that you're going to be here and be listening and I can say hi to y'all. Okay, we're going to take calls in a minute, but first, here's something interesting that came across my attention this week. Are you a good spouse or partner? Are you a good spouse or partner? Liz Colville of the blog The Thought Catalog published this marital rating scale that was developed in the 1930s by Dr. George W. Crane, who was a PhD and medical doctor. And so he came up with this rating scale based on expectations of spouses and things that annoyed people in marriage back in the 1930s. So it's fun and interesting to look back at what people's expectations were at that time and what made a good spouse. So the rating scale is divided into a husband's chart and a wife's chart. And then each chart has two columns. One is for demerits and the other is for merits. And each column lists behaviors to be rated. And then to tally the score, what you do is you'd add up the demerit points and then you'd add up the merit points and then you'd subtract the demerit points from the merit points and that would give you your score. And the more points you got, the better partner you are. So we're going to go through some of the checklist a little bit at a time. Today we're going to look at the checklist for the husbands. We're going to let the men go first. And let's look at the merits on that. So for those of you who are in the chat room, I'm going to post the link so that you can follow up if you want to. And you might hear a little bit of clucking as I do this. Craig G., who might still be there in the chat room, was urging me to get an intern so that I can have this being happening this in the background. I have someone who can do this for me in the background. But for now, we are an all-purpose, one-person show. So I am putting this up in the chat room, and it's from the thoughtcatalog.com, How to Be a Good Spouse in the 1930s. So if you want to follow along, be sure to join into the chat room, log into the chat room, and then click on the link, and you can go to the website where you can find this chart. Okay, this is really, really interesting, right? And we're going to look at what the expectations were. This is the husband's chart, okay? So these are the merits. These are the things that were considered to be good things for husbands to do at that time. And the directions are this. In computing the score, check the various items under demerits which fit the husband and add the total. Each item counts 1 point unless specifically weighted as in the parentheses. So there are parentheses there for some of the items that give the number of points that ought to be added to that particular category or that particular behavior. Okay, and then as I said, eventually we'll add up the points and you can see whether you would have been a good husband or a good wife, a good partner back in the 1930s. Okay, so here are the merits of a good husband. Number one, gives his wife ample allowance or turns the paycheck over to her. Yes, absolutely. And that one gets a +5. So that one is worth not just 1 point, it's worth 5 points, okay? So if you give your wife your allowance or turn your paycheck over to her, give yourself 5 points. If you're courteous to your wife's friends, give yourself 1 point. If you frequently compliment your wife about her looks or her cooking or her housekeeping, etc., give yourself 5 points. If you remember her birthday, anniversaries, and so forth, give yourself 5 points. If you help your wife with the dishes and caring for the children, and he says scrubbing, it's really interesting, he puts scrubbing there specifically, give yourself 1 point. If you're polite and mannerly, even when you're alone with your wife, give yourself 1 point. If you consult your wife's opinion about business and social affairs, give yourself 1 point. If you have a date with your wife at least once a week, 5 points. If you read the newspaper, books, or magazines out loud to your wife, give yourself 1 point. If you're a good conversationalist, 1 point. If you are a steady worker and a good provider, 5 points. Then finally, if you leave the car for your wife on the days that she may need it, give yourself 1 point. Okay, those are the merits. Those are the merits. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the demerits so that you can add up your score and find out whether you are a good husband or would be considered a good husband in the 1930s. Okay, we're ready to take a call from someone at this moment. So we're going to go to the phone lines and go ahead and be sure to call in right now. As you are adding up your scores and thinking about the question of the day, should he tell his wife he had a one-night stand? Should he tell his wife? And then the topic of the day is your PIN. What is your PIN? What are your positions, your interests, and needs? And rather than lecturing to you about that, I would like to take some time and go through the process with someone, okay? So we have a caller. And I'm going to put the caller on the air. Caller, you are on the air. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
I'm glad that you're here this afternoon. And I know there's a lot of stuff going on the show. What are you interested in?
Well, you know what? I wanted to make a comment on the guy who, that's the guy who had the STD, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to make a comment on that. But before that, I want to say, oh, my gosh, I just totally loved the music that you were playing. I am a big Lloyd and George fan.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, I saw her on TV.
That's right. She was on TV. It was on the Africa Channel, right?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, she was so awesome. So I just totally loved it. And I didn't even know that that album was out. Now I have a chance to go get it. And I saw her website up there, so you can go and check that.
That's fantastic. It's available on iTunes for download. So just go to iTunes, put in Loide, L-O-I-D-E, and you can get the CD and have it for yourself. And then also, of course, you want to check her website for when she's performing live. If you're mainly on the East Coast, she performs on the East Coast. So, you know, folks who are on the East Coast, if you're coming to the East Coast, can go and listen to her live. Live shows are the best.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so what is your question for today?
You know what? My comment for that guy who had a one-night stand and contracted an STD and now has the nerve to even be asking, should he tell his wife? If he doesn't tell his wife, God is going to make his thing fall off, okay? Because he is so wrong. I have never heard of such a selfish person in my life, you know? I mean, I can't believe it. Like, what does he think? Why does he think he has the choice to decide for her whether she finds out that she is being put at risk for sexually transmitted diseases that could potentially end her life? You know, that's just totally unfair, you know.
Well, what if he says, you know, I've learned my lesson, I'll never do it again.
Learned his lesson? Did he not know what marriage was about? Like, was he born yesterday? He doesn't know that in relationships, in marriage, you're supposed to behave a certain way? That's something he has to learn by going out and contracting the STD? I think she has the right to know what type of individual she's dealing with, because if he could do something so terrible, you know, there's nothing to say that he's not going to do it again later on. Of course he's repentant now because he's scared. And he has to tell her. He has an STD, and she has the right to choose whether or not she would like to contract that STD. You see what I'm saying? So he doesn't have a choice. It's not his choice anymore. He created a bad situation. And it's like, I love the way people try and act like, when they are doing it, you know, they have to convince themselves that no matter what happens after this, it's totally worth it. That's how he laid down with that lady in the first place. He was like, I don't care what happens after this. You know, I'm just going to do this, and I'll deal with the consequences later. But when it's time to deal with the consequences, all of a sudden he wants to ask somebody, do I have to tell her? You know, he created that bad situation. And you know what? Surprise, that's what happens when you have an affair. Very bad things happen. You have to go and tell your spouse, this is what I did, which should be an incentive to not have an affair in the first place. Because why are you going to do something that you're not going to want to have to confess to later? Save yourself the pain and don't do it. But he did it. And now he has to pay the piper. And he has to tell her. And he has to accept whatever decision she makes. And I personally hope that her decision is to leave him in such a way that he will never forget who she is. And you know what? She needs to take him for everything he's worth, okay, and really, you know, give him a good thank you for putting her at risk of contracting a sexually transmitted disease. How horrible is that? Like, you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy. And this guy's going to go do that to his wife and then try and be like, should I tell her? Yeah, he has to tell her. That's kind of a no-brainer right there.
I know that nobody better mess with you, right?
I'm telling you, I'm not playing that. That's terrible. I think that anyone who has an affair, they don't have the right to say, well, I've learned my lesson. I'm never going to do it again. I'm not going to tell her. And here's the greatest, listen to this explanation of why people allow themselves to not tell their spouse. Well, what they don't know won't hurt them. And why am I going to put it on them? Why am I going to tell them so that they can feel sad about it? Let me just keep it to myself, you know. But that's so totally wrong, because the other person is a person just like them, and they have the right to make choices for their own lives.
You do understand that he got tested, he got treated, so he's no longer infected.
Yeah, but I mean, a marriage is about honesty, and, you know, it's about transparency, you know. So how is he going to have an open, honest, transparent marriage when he broke his wedding vows, okay? And, like, if they're Christians, for instance, infidelity is, like, the one reason that people, like, in the church or, you know, according to the Bible, that they could get divorced, okay? So they have the right to make that choice. How is he going to have an open, transparent marriage when he broke his wedding vow and then he's not telling her and he's hiding this big thing from her? And you know what? What's done in darkness is going to come to light. Just because he doesn't tell her doesn't mean that she's never going to find out. You see, mm-hmm. he's probably better off telling her himself and hoping for the best than waiting for her to find out some other way and being humiliated and embarrassed and angry, and it would be much worse
than for him to just fess up to it. You are 100%. He has to tell her no matter the consequences, even if, on the other hand, he might go the rest of his life without her finding out. If he doesn't say.
Yeah, but he knows, and it doesn't matter, because then what's that? That's not a marriage. Anyway, he can't be hiding some big thing like that. And another thing is, he's not treating her with respect by giving her the chance to make a decision for what she'll. And you know what? A guy who would do that, she probably wants out of that marriage anyway. And he needs to give her the opportunity to walk, because he did that. So.
That's harsh.
No, well, I'm telling you.
He might be listening, and he might hear what you have to say. And I don't know, I might hear back from him and see what he's thinking. But, you know, I know that he absolutely understands how serious this is. And I hear you, too. When people are married, you know, keeping secrets can be toxic.
Of course. Of course. And you know what? He might think that he can just, you know, forget about her or whatnot, but it will come out in other ways. You know, he'll be causing her all sorts of problems because he's stressed about this big thing that he did that he never confessed to, and then she still has to pay for his nonsense. And if he's listening, wow, you know what my message to him is? You are so full of nonsense. You need to come clean, and you need to show some respect and some true remorse. And true remorse means he needs to go and beg for forgiveness and hope for the best, and be willing to accept and support her in whatever it is that she decides. Because if it was me, I'm telling you the truth, that there is no second chance. That's a big man. He doesn't know what happens when you have an affair. That's what happens. Hello. And he's so lucky that he didn't give her that STD. He should just be praying and thanking God every day, because, you know, she might have had to end up spending the rest of her life in jail after she jumped up and killed the man, you know. So when he tells her, he needs to make sure that he tells her in an environment and in a way that is going to be the best for her, so that she does not, you know, get herself into trouble with her reaction to him. Hopefully she'll just, you know, gracefully thank him and, you know, invite him out of the door and out of her life, you know. But that's something that I think that's a no-brainer. Any adult knows that, you know, if you want to mess up a good thing, go ahead and have an affair. You want to end your marriage, have an affair. So I'm just, like, amused at somebody who wants to, after doing that, turn around and be like, so how can I just make this all go away? Well, it doesn't go away. That's what happened.
Well, wouldn't this be perhaps a sign that, you know, he's gotten a second chance, he's gotten a, you know, he didn't pass on this STD, which is really fortunate for him, as you pointed out. Couldn't he take that as a sign that he's getting his one chance?
No, not at all. Because you know what? Just because she didn't get that STD and just because she hasn't found out yet doesn't mean that she's not going to find out. You see what I'm saying? So
okay.
he can't, he just has to do the right thing. And everybody knows what the right thing is. You see?
Right.
So,
well,
you know, there's
no
sign that he got a pass. You don't get a free pass on something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've certainly heard you. You have a powerful message there. We understand that for you in marriage, truth is sanctified, that there should be no secrets, even if you've really messed up and you feel that you are going to blow up your relationship by saying something. It is better to say something than say nothing at all. You owe that to your partners, what you're saying. Especially if you are in a committed relationship, if you've strayed, you must confess. That's your position.
Yes, you have to give them the choice as to whether they want to stay with a person like you, if they're willing to give you a second chance or not. You don't just get a second chance because you dodged a bullet.
Right. Well, thank you so very much for your powerful message. I mean, this, you know, I'm sure that you've given listeners a lot to think about in terms of that. I should ask you to come back. You know, you're sort of the counterpoint to my old softy kind of approach. I tend to be, you know, interested in the fact that, hey, you know, it happened. There's nothing that he can change about that. Let's see perhaps how he might be able to salvage this. But you've got this straight talk approach to things, and I like hearing that from you as well. I wonder, though, did you have a question about the topic of the day, about your pin?
Well, you know what? Actually, I do. And I wrote down the three things, but I just wasn't sure if I had them written in the right order. Could you just say them one more time?
Okay, so PIN stands for position. That's P, interest, I, need, N. What's your PIN? Your position, your interest, and your need. Okay, so what I need for you to do is to describe a dilemma for me, and then we'll go through and sort out what is your position, what is your interest, what is your need.
Okay. Well, interestingly enough, as much as I can talk straight about certain things, I have a problem that I'm not quite sure how to deal with. And you know, I'm not sure how to, you know, work it out with this other person. But what my problem is that I am babysitting for this lady. And so far, she picks up the child late, and she doesn't pay me on time, as you know, as the times that we've agreed. She doesn't, either she hasn't paid me or the payment is really late. And also the amount that she's paying me, which I did agree to at the beginning, is completely not worth it. But it's more not worth it because, you know, it's just a bad situation for me. I have my own household to take care of, and the baby stays late. I'm not getting paid. It's just absolutely not working for me. But when I try and bring it up, you know, in my attempt to say, you know, what I really want to say is that I don't want to babysit anymore. But she makes me feel really guilty when I start to say anything, you know, down those lines. And I just feel really bad about not babysitting anymore. But I really don't want to.
Do you understand why you feel guilty?
Well, because she, you know, she needs the help, and, you know, I don't know where she's going to take the baby to if I don't want the baby, and, you know, and she just, I don't know why exactly I feel guilty, but she makes me feel responsible, I guess.
So you're saying that you're feeling guilty because you're not sure what she will do if you don't take the baby. She might not have any alternatives. And
Or the alternative might be something that I would not want to put my child in a place like that.
So you're really feeling responsible for her issue.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about what has led you to decide that you can't watch the child anymore. Well, let me ask this. How old is the baby?
She's 3 months now.
Ah. So 3 months old, she requires a lot of work.
Oh, yes. Yes. All day.
Okay. And you have kids of your own?
Yes, I do.
How many kids do you have?
I have two.
Okay. Are they similar ages?
They're older than the baby, and they're a couple years apart, but they stay home with me. So I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and then the 3-month-old baby.
And it sounds like you're saying that part of the problem for you is that the baby's mom comes to pick up the baby late. What happens when that happens?
Well, it's hard for me because then I don't, you know, in the afternoon the baby's up and I have to be holding the baby and feeding the baby and changing the diapers, and I don't have a chance to make supper. I don't have a chance to, you know, tidy up the house. So my husband comes home from work and the house is still a mess from a whole day of taking care of kids, and the food isn't ready and my kids aren't getting ready for bed and they're hungry, and it's just a mess, and it's absolutely not worth it. You know, I think I could consider, like, maybe if the money was really good, was, you know, like a normal amount that you'd get paid, then I could consider that, you know, that maybe it balances out. But this situation is just like a total lose for me.
Wow, that's strong, total lose. So it's in taking care of the child, the baby, and, you know, because mom comes to pick up the baby late, you say that basically you feel like you're neglecting your own family.
Yes, yes, I am.
Okay, and what I've heard you say is, you know, it's not working for you. You don't want to babysit anymore.
Yes.
But you're torn because you're concerned about whether she'll have an alternative place to take the child.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's look at your position, your interest, and your needs. So what I'm understanding your position to be is you cannot babysit this child anymore.
Yes.
Okay, and your interest is that you want to be able to be a better wife and mom to your own family.
Yes, uh-huh.
You don't want to feel like you're neglecting your family by not having dinner ready on time, and your kids are hungry, and your husband comes home to a house that isn't clean, and you're frustrated and flustered, and so your interest is in taking care of your own family.
Yes.
Okay, and so your need is to be able to do those things, clean the house. You need to be able to, you know, have supper on the table and basically take care of your own family.
Yes.
Right. So now you said that you've had conversations with her and you feel guilty when you talk about it. What does she say to you that makes you feel guilty?
Well, she says, you know, like maybe I'll say, you know what, I really don't know if I'm going to be able to keep babysitting, and she'll say, oh no, what am I going to do? And I mean, she's like, she's about to cry, you know, and then she'll start talking about some of the other places that she might take the baby, and it's just terrible. I would never wish for my child, for my baby to be there, you know, and then that makes me feel really bad. So I just feel so guilty that I just don't say anything else about it.
And have you talked with her about why she shows up late?
Well, she'll say something like she got off work late or there was traffic. But I've called her once after she was supposed to be off work, and she mentioned to me that she was at the store. You know, so I didn't say anything about it, but, you know, it seems to me that she's just kind of doing her own thing and then coming to pick up the baby.
Mm-hmm. So she's using that extra time to do her own shopping or to take care of her own errands?
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's what my suggestion is. I'm suggesting that you talk with her again about what you're your concerns are, but that you have a conversation that is orderly so that you can stick to your script. You're going to have a script and you practice your script so that you can stick to your script when you have the conversation so that you don't get derailed by feeling guilty about her concerns, especially if you believe that she could come right after work to pick up the baby, but that she's off doing her own thing. Often, often it is helpful for a person who is in that situation, you know, who's off doing their own thing and so forth. Sometimes it helps if you explain to them precisely how it impacts you when they don't show up on time. That together with an ultimatum that says, for these reasons, I cannot watch your child anymore, that might change the behavior. I mean, you might decide, you have a couple of decisions to make here. One is that you could go ahead and say, I'm going to address this with her, see if the behavior changes, and then if it does, then I will be able to continue babysitting. If she picks up the baby on time, I will have time to make supper and clean the house and you know, do those things that are important to you. Or you could say, you know, really, it's not worth it. I'm not going to do it anymore. And if that is your choice, if that second one is your choice, then you need to go off in your mind and think about how to come to a place of peace about letting her own her problem regarding alternate resources for childcare. You need to think about whether that really is your problem or not. If you decide it is your problem, that is fine. You can go ahead and decide that, you know, you're going to own that problem and then have to decide how you're going to figure things out if she continues to show up late. But
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's not just her showing up late as well. It's that the amount that I'm getting paid is absolutely not worth it.
Now, why did you let her pay you that amount to begin with?
Well, because I was kind of under the impression that, you know, financially, you know, it was very difficult for her. And also, it seemed like that was just to start, you know, and then the price would increase. And it never increased. And it's difficult for me to talk about money because she's also always talking about her financial woes. But at the same time, she's also talking about looking for getting a different car, you know. So
listen, ultimately, you are the person who is selling your services, so it's up to you to decide how much to charge. And if she cannot afford your services, then you need to decide, can you afford to carry her? And what I'm hearing from you is that you can't. You cannot afford to carry her. You have your own family to take care of, and frankly, it sounds as though you might be actually putting her before your own family. So that might be another way to think about it is, you know, am I putting my children second to this other person? So when you're doing your positions, your interests, and your needs, also consider that in your interest is your own family, your own children. And so if it is actually costing you money to have this child, to babysit the child, and if it is causing you to fall down in your own responsibilities as a wife and mother, then, you know, consider what your own family, what you're asking your family to sacrifice, your children to sacrifice in the service of this other person who doesn't seem to respect you very much. You know, if she's able to come and pick up the child and instead is going shopping, there's a respect issue there to consider as well. So, again, I suggest, you know, you've got your position. You can't babysit anymore. You have your interest. You know why. And you have your needs, the reasons why you feel that you cannot babysit the child anymore. You want to be able to put dinner on the table on time and have your kids be happy and cared for and paid attention to. And you actually can sit and say those things to her and then stick to them. And understand that she's going to come back with her arguments, and that is her right. And it's an expectation. You can expect that she's going to try to convince you to change your mind because it is in her interest. She's got her position, she has her interest, and she has her needs. And so it is in her interest to try to convince you to change your mind. So my suggestion to you is that you sit down and think carefully. We've just kind of started here. I'm going to have to get off this call and continue with the show. But you have the basics of what to consider when you are looking at your positions, your interests, and your needs. Think, flesh it out, you know, be as broad as possible, think creatively, write down everything that comes to your mind, and you will see that your answer becomes clearer as you think it through. And then know that when you're having a conversation with her, expect that she's going to try to convince you to do otherwise, and see it as her right. You know, that shouldn't annoy you or upset you, but be sure that you can stick to your position, your interest, and your need, okay?
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah, when I think about what my kids are going through, I do not feel as guilty.
Well, that'll do it, right? When it's your babies, that'll do it. So I wish you the best with dealing with that situation. And feel free to call back and follow up or send me an email, info@123untangled.com, or visit the website and let me know how things go, okay?
Okay. Well, thanks so much for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. It's a little bit of an introduction to how you can use the PIN system, P-I-N, your position, your interest, your need, to understand ways to resolve dilemmas that you're having. It might be an internal dilemma about making a decision on your own behalf. It might be about an argument or a disagreement that you're having with someone else, where you need to have a conversation with them to say, you know what, I don't like the way that things are going. I'm not happy with what's going on between us, and this is what I need to say to you. This is my need, and this is my interest, and here's why I believe this is what's best for me. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to do that. It's okay to advocate for yourself. And this is what this show is about. It is about self-advocacy. And I will flesh this out a little bit more, because there's a concept called collaborative self-advocacy that we will talk about in a future show, where you are dealing with a person who is perhaps your supervisor or in other ways holds a position of power, where you need something from them and you need to advocate for yourself. And we'll talk about how it is that you can help that person to become your collaborator in solving a problem, rather than going to them and complaining so that they end up seeing you as a problem. We'll talk about how you can approach them so that you ask them to collaborate with you in solving a problem, and so that you are now on the same page about addressing the issue, rather than being in opposition with somebody from whom you need something. So that is collaborative self-advocacy, but we've gotten into a little bit of that by looking at your position, your interest, and your need, your PIN, and understanding what that is really important. So whenever you have a dilemma, you can just write this down and flesh it out. What really is going on with me? I think with this caller, it was important for her to think that really she is putting her children second to the woman who's bringing the baby. I mean, to have a three-month-old baby and to be going to work is really difficult. It sounds like this woman's alternatives are limited when it comes to other places to take the child, but it seems that she also is not being very appreciative of the caller as a resource if she is not coming and picking up the child on time, if she's not paying on time, even when she was given a huge discount. It sounds like the caller gave her a significant discount on the amount that she's charging for babysitting. So she needs to think about what her position and her interests and her needs are too, in terms of having a good place to leave her child when she goes to work. Okay, so I hope that you will continue to tune in. We're going to talk in a future show about that issue, collaborative self-advocacy, when now you're dealing with somebody who is in a position of power and you need something from them. Okay, so let's go back to the announcements. I need to be sure to finish out the week for you for the Women's Month Music Festival, the Lady Got Chops Music Festival. We ended up with what was going on March 5th, so get your pens and paper out again, or go back to that document on your computer. On March 5th, to continue at the Bean Runner Cafe in Peekskill from 7:30 to 10:30. I told you that you could hear Jane Getter on guitar, Amanda Russa on bass, Laura Dreyer on sax, and Sylvia Cuenca on drums. And then finally for that evening, you've got ladies in the house: Debbie Knapper on guitar, Debbie Robinson on bass, and Lizette Peaches Smith on drums will be at the Northport Tasting Room and Wine Cellar, 70 Main Street, Northport, Long Island. And then we begin the new week on March 6th with a doubleheader at Cafe 5C. We've which is at 68 Avenue C. There we have Dottie, Anita Taylor, and Bertha Hope, who get the evening started at 6 p.m. And then at 9 p.m., the Kim Clark Duo takes over. And then at the Northport Tasting Room, and we mentioned that that's in Northport, Long Island, at the Northport Tasting Room and Wine Cellar, the Bearweather Ready Blues and Vibes perform with Diana Harold on the vibraphone. So you've got a lot going on for this week. You have no excuse for sitting at home in the evening. And I really urge you to go out, support the music, support independent musicians. They bring so much beauty and joy and substance to our lives. For more information, you can go to the festival's website, thejazz.8m.com/9.html. All right. And I have put that up in the chat room. At the end of the show, I'm going to go ahead and put that information up in the chat room again and also give you information about how to support the Women's Month Music Festival with a donation. So these are self-supporting artists who are not necessarily out there in the mainstream, and they do what they do because they love it. It's their vocation, avocation. Many artists see this as a calling and their way of giving back to the world. So here's an opportunity for you to support the music. Go to the festival events and buy the music as well. Make sure you buy your music. All right, I'm going to get off my soapbox about music for the minute. If you're just tuning in, we're coming down to the last few minutes of the show. I am Batabi Lemtombeni, JD. I'm the mediator and your conflict coach, broadcasting live from Harlem, USA, and you are listening to Untangled Resolution's weekly broadcast of The Problem is the Answer. Mediation is like feng shui for your relationships, so be sure to give us a call or go to our website, www.123untangled.com. If you're having an issue with a spouse or a partner, or even with a neighbor, a friend, a boss, you know, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to suffer. We can work one-on-one in a conflict coaching situation or mediation. Mediation really works. I'm going to tell you really quickly about how well mediation works. I mediate for the CCRB, which is the Civilian Complaint Review Board, and I may have mentioned this last week, but it's so powerful I want to mention it again, that I'm working with police officers and residents of the city of New York who feel that they have been ill-treated by the police officers. And so the officer that with whom they have a specific problem comes in, and they sit in a room with me and talk through what happened. And this last mediation that I did went so well, it was almost as though the police officer and the person who had complained were flirting. Yes, indeed, they actually ended up liking each other, and they found out that they had a lot in common. So I really urge you to try mediation. I can help you out with resources for finding a mediator in your area. And watch the TV show on USA, Fairly Legal. It is a nice little introduction to mediation. It's a lot of Hollywood, I have to say, but it's a fun show, and it also is great in terms of helping you to understand a little bit of what mediation might be like. All right. We're going to go back to how to be a good spouse. I'm going to quickly read through the demerits for the husband. You add them up and join us next week. We'll talk about what your score was, and then we'll get to the ladies. Okay. So the demerits, number one, stares at or flirts with other women while out with his wife. 5 points if you do that. And come on now, be honest. Okay, be honest. 5 points. Reads the newspaper at the table. I think that in this day and age, we would say texting or checking email at the table. Fails to come to the table promptly when a meal is ready. Brings guests home for meals without warning his wife. Come on now. How are you going to do that? Bring a guest home without warning. Doesn't phone when late for dinner. That's a hard one, too. That's not nice. Because, you know, if you cook something and you want to have it nice and hot, ready on the table, and the person just doesn't show up, that ain't nice. That isn't nice. Compares wife unfavorably with his mother or other wives. 5 points. And I totally get why that is 5 points. 5 points if you criticize your wife by comparing her unfavorably with your mother or with other wives. Number seven. Okay, we're not on number seven. Publicly praises his bachelor days and regrets having married. Wow, that's deep. Number eight, criticizes wife in public. That's number five. Do you say mean things about your wife in public? You shouldn't do that. Belches without apology or blows nose at the table. Come on, Mel. Wow. Oof. Nobody wants to hear that. Leaves dresser drawers open. Isn't that an interesting one? Leaves dresser drawers open, leaves shoes in the living room. Now, I know someone who's listening right now who's going to be cheering about that one because the shoes lying around the house is a major issue for this person. She knows who she is. Leaves shoes in the living room, and number 12, snores. The snoring. Gentlemen, be honest. So those are the 12, and add up your scores, and next week we'll talk about what you scored, and we'll get to the ladies, okay? So I'm so glad that you joined us for this show. I'm having a fun time presenting the show, and I'm hoping that you have fun listening. Invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite everybody you know to listen to the show. I believe we have a lot of important information, useful information to get across. And then also there's a chance for you to hear something that might be helpful to you from somebody else who calls in, or you can call in. And I will be happy to work with you directly. Join us again next week, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm looking forward to our time together. I will be sending out information about the topic for the next show, so be sure to follow the show. Click on that little button that says follow so that you can get the information, all right? That's it for today. We're going to have Loida sing us out of the show, and she's singing a song called Daddy Remember Me. It's a Lucky Dubé song, and it's really special that she was singing the song because Lucky Dubé's original guitarist was accompanying her in this concert that she did live at Bohemian Caverns. So this is Loida George, Daddy Remember Me by Lucky Dubé. I will talk to you next week. Have a wonderful week.
The song that we're about to sing is recorded by Lucky Dubé.